about the other night. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 22, and then we'll be also talking about this love in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, four or five verses of scriptures. But in dealing with this love, I thought I'd take a test today as I began to study love, and it's such a big subject. So I thought I'd give myself a test on Christmas love. Do you have Christmas love? And I also titled this message, really, what is Christmas love? Could title it Dressing Up Santa Claus. I had several titles I thought about when I read these scriptures and took this word love, because that's what we're going to take tonight, is love. And really, as we look at the world today, and we see in these verses of scriptures in Galatians, it's the work of the flesh or it's the fruit of the Spirit. Which one do you have? Do you have this love tonight? This Christmas love? As I gave myself a test on these 10 things that I'm going to be talking about mostly tonight, and I know I won't ever get to my second or third point probably. I've been talking about these 10 characteristics of this Christmas love. And in these verses of scriptures 19 through 22, there's two pictures. There's a picture there of the lost, and that is the flesh. That's the natural man, what sin does in a person. And then that's the saved. We have the fruit, the saved, the fruit of the Spirit. It's what God does through us, and which is supernatural. Supernatural. In these verses of scriptures, you'll find out in verse 20 and 23, they are nine graced fruits here in the scriptures in Galatians. But we're only going to take one, and that is love, and it is the first one. So reading these, we're talking about the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. So we look around Christmas time, and man, we can see a lot of works of the flesh this time of the year. All kind of things goes on at Christmas time. Not just in the lost world, the unbeliever, but also the Christian people. Saw a lot of reports and of different things around Christmas time. Even our churches, attendance falls off, tithes falls off. As I said, worship falls off around the Christmas season. I know it's a busy time, but the most important thing is we worship our Lord. But then as you see this busy season and you see in the lost world so many things going on as a work of the flesh, and they are manifest, it says. And we look around our world today, as you look at television, you see the different things that's happening at Christmas time. And, you know, there's a war on Christmas. If you didn't know it, there's a war on Christmas in our country. Really, it's a war on Jesus Christ. Not wanting to call the Christmas tree a Christmas tree, calling it a holiday tree. As I seen on O'Reilly, one little boy wrote in and said, well, what holiday are we celebrating? If it's a holiday tree, what holiday tree is it? So he had a good point. If it's not a Christmas tree, it's a holiday tree. What holiday are we celebrating? But it's always a war on Jesus Christ, because you can have all type of religion, but when you bring Jesus into it, there's a war going on, have been and will be until Jesus Christ comes back. Now, as you think about this work of this flesh, and as you look around our country today and see so many things, it's just going wrong in our world because it's the work of the flesh. As I think about it, as I watch television and watch different things that are happening back around New York and also the bigger cities in California, so many things is so ungodly, and it brings out these verses of scriptures. Really, it's just the work of the flesh. And it says now the work of the flesh are manifested, and they are really being manifested today. Which are these, he said, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, thank you, Lord, for the but, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open up your word, O God, and it's a mirror, God, to our heart that we might see ourselves. And we want to thank you, God, this night, the precious word of God, and how, God, that we see the love and the word of God, Lord, that you have for us, and how you told us and what you have done for us on Calvary's cross, that you love us so much. Then we can all say thank you, Lord, for loving us. And this is a Christmas season, what Christmas is all about, as we're celebrating your birth, that you was willing to come into this world, leave the lofty throne of heaven and come, Lord, and die on the cross. Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and all of your agony and pain that you went through. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you remembered me. Oh, it's such a great time, God, that we might be able to return this love to you and show it, Lord, by serving and worshiping you, Lord, as we should. In this Christmas season, may we all understand, and Lord, may all give you first place in our homes and in our life and in our churches. We won't be too busy for the most important thing, and that's to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, thank you, Lord, for these blessings this night, the ones we've called out, and Lord, ones on our hearts and our mind this hour. Lord, for the love you have for each one of us and all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we see these last fruit of the Spirit, love. Now, that's the first one, and I thought about this Christmas love. What kind of love is Christmas love? Give you this test tonight. As I took this test today and take it again, I didn't do so well with it. I didn't do so well on these 10 different types of love that I should have. I didn't do very well. The love today, you know, the world do not know what love's all about. They have taken, twisted this word, perverted this word, and misused this word, and abused this word, love. Love. Think about this word, love. Today, the world knows very little about this word, love. And we know that love is not a feeling. It might contain feeling, but it's not a feeling. It's not only emotional. Because God commands us, you cannot command a feeling, but God commands us in the Bible to love. In Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, husband, love your wife as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That is a command. I know I remember that old song they used to sing, please release me and let me go. I don't love you anymore. I don't know who sung that old song, but listen. You say, please release me. Love is a command. As you think about it, this is a command. It's a choice and a conduct that God tells us to love. Love is a commandment that's followed by a commitment. You see, God commands us to love, and we should be following that by a commitment. Love is not something that you fall into. It's something that you commit to. We need to really understand that. What kind of love is Christmas love? There's a lot of type of love we know, especially in the Greek language. And there's one that's called Eros, I guess. It's called Eros. It's a love, I think, a boy and a girl has for one another, or a boy for a girl, whatever it might be. Philadelphia love, we know that. So brotherly love, friendship love. But the love I want to talk about tonight is godly love, which you always heard is agape love. Agape love, as God is love. And this word agape love is a word I want to talk about tonight, and it's a Christmas love. Because John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that verse of scripture is our Christmas love that God gave for all the gifts that's going to be jerked open and very quickly unwrapped in that Christmas season this year. But the greatest gift that God gave is his Son, Jesus Christ. And he loved to do this. So this love is echoed across eons of time that God loves us. And he loves us so much that he was willing to give a godlike love. This world needs to know how to love. Also, it needs to know how to give love and how to receive love. Now, what the scripture does here, God puts his beautiful diamond of display on this black velvet. This work of the flesh are manifested, but the fruits of the Spirit. So he lets you read, first of all, this diamond of the display on this black ground of velvet. God's agape love is the work, is a fruit of the Spirit. But this work of the flesh is this black background that we see in our lives and your life. But God comes out with this beautiful diamond of agape love for each and every one of us. And he displays it, as you see. Look at this love, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and all these different grace that he gives us of the Spirit. Against each of these, it says there are no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it says at the end of verse 23, against such there is no law. In other words, you have law against the work of the flesh. There's laws against that, but there's no law. It says against the law here of love, and also the law here of joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, there's no law telling a mother that you got to love your little child. You don't hear that. They have passed a law to tell you you got to love your little child. You love your little child because that's a thing for you to do. So Galatians 22 and 23, there's 9 qualities of this nature of the spiritual of a Christian. But we're not going to take but just one tonight. I think about 2 years ago we went through this. But I don't want to talk about this love because the title is tonight, The Test of a Christmas Love. And these 10 things, there's 10 qualities of this agape love as we look at this test. If you have your Bibles, I'll read them to you if you don't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a love chapter of the Bible. And verse 4 through 7, we'll be dealing with that, but we'll take one verse at a time, and we'll take one of these at a time, stand fast love. And I said, as I took this test and went through these verses 4 through 7, and all these are talking about this love that we should have. And one of them is agape love, is it's a stand fast love. In verse 4 chapter 13, it says, charity, which means love, suffers long. Suffer long, that's a stand fast love. As we go over this, it means it enables us to be patient. Now, we have to look at ourselves and give ourselves this test and ask ourselves this question, are you a patient person? Are you a patient person? Do we give up on people? Do we give up on things? Do we give up on people? When we give up on people and we're not patient with people, we become unlike Jesus Christ. In John 13, it says, Jesus Christ, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. It's long-suffering. Do you have this kind of love that don't give up on people? You know, there's a lot of people that we need to reach for Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that needs encouraging. There's a lot of people that's not here. Maybe a visit, maybe a call, maybe a letter, maybe, go by and see them and give them a word of encouragement. That's long-suffering. Maybe they've done something against you, and maybe you have something against somebody. How many times do you forgive them? 7 times 70, 490, and then you keep on forgiving them. You keep on forgiving them. This Christmas love is a love that's steadfast love. It's a long-suffering love. Do you have this Christmas love that's long-suffering? A lot of times it's to our family members that we don't have patience with. We all kind of stand in need, I would think, for a little bit more patience. John 3:16. Remember, God so loved the world, he was willing to come and give himself on Calvary's cross. Agape love is a stand-fast love. It's long-suffering. It's patience. Do you have that? How you doing on your test? Agape love is a serving love. It says love is kind. Kindness. Love is kind. It's a serving one another type of love. Care for others more than you care for self. How you doing on your test? Do you care for others more than you care for yourself? Not loving somebody for what they do for you, but loving them because of what Jesus Christ says for us to do. Jesus loves us. Luke, it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, it says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. It says, love your enemies. John 3:16, God come and died on the cross of Calvary when we was unlovable, while we was yet in our sins. Christmas love. how you doing on your test? It says, you know, a steadfast love. It says a serving love. I be how you're doing on your test of this Christmas love. Agape love is a sincere love. It says it envies not. It means it's not jealous, not a jealous person. Are you a jealous person? Do we have a little bit of jealousy? What is jealousy? Jealousy wants what you don't have. Somebody else has it, you don't have it, so you get jealous about it. Are you a jealous person? If we envy something that someone else have and you want it, we're a jealous person. That's not sincere love. If it means that I don't rejoice because you have it. And everybody ever gets blessed, you or just rejoice because they're doing real good. I mean, they're doing good in their life. Do you rejoice in that, or you kind of envy because they're doing good and everything's happening good? If so, it's not sincere love. You see how people get blessed and how you really feel about it. Are you a jealous person, or you envy anybody? Is there anybody that you envy? If so, you're not a loving person. You're not a mature Christian. As I think I failed this test, do you have this Christmas love? How are you doing on your test? Number four, agape love is self-effacing love. Verse 4, it says, vaunting not itself. It is not puffed up. It keeps oneself in the background. I don't care who gets the credit for it. I'm going to keep myself in the background. It's not proud. Rejoice because I have more than someone else. It's pride. Love. Love and pride cannot dwell in the same heart. See, you can't have a big head and a big heart at the same time. Self-effacing love. What do you have that the Lord has not given you? John 3:16, God so loved the world. Jesus left heaven and he come to this old world, and look what he did. Look what he had, but he gave it all up for you and for me. How you doing with this type of love? Test of his Christmas love. Agape love is self-restraining love. Do not behave itself unseemly. You know, it just means courtesy, not rude. Tell someone thank you and please. Be in courtesy. Love in little things, wife and husbands. If a person don't love in little things, they can't love in big things. When you find the person that's rude, they're unloving and they're unlike Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Do you have this Christmas love? Are you proud of your test so far? How are you doing on your test? Agape love is self-denying love. Verse 5, it sees not her own self. It's not say to me, I want my rights. Self-denying love. It don't say, I want my rights. You ever think about that? See these people on television that's doing this demonstration they call the Wall Street Occupiers? They want their rights. I don't think they want a job, but they want their rights. If you teach someone their rights, you have a revolution. If you teach people their responsibility, you have a revival. The Bible says, you are crucified with Christ. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Remember, a dead person has no rights. Are you saved tonight? Have you been crucified with Jesus Christ? If you have, you see, you are dead in Christ. A dead person do not have any rights. All your rights becomes Jesus Christ's rights. And he has commanded you to love. You see, that's his right to command you because he bought you. And he commands you and I to love. And it's for the glory of Jesus Christ and the welfare of others that we love. How you doing on your test? When you love Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, You'll hunger for the Word of God. You'll desire for the house of God, and you'll have passion for the people of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Number 7, agape love is sincere love. It's not easy provoked. It's not troubled, calm, peaceful. As a clear sky and clear water as you take a drink of water. Not like someone with a shotgun with a hair trigger that's ready to blow off at anything. Have I been that way? And sometimes I get that way. Do you? Easy to get mad sometimes and blow off, lose your temper. You ever been that way? Why do we explode easy? Because the love of the Lord's not there, and I fail the test. That's Christmas love, John 3:16. The 8th thing is agape love is very synthetic love. It's a love that sympathizes. Verse 6 it says, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Because when someone falls or they fail and they do wrong, you don't rejoice over it. A lot of times, have you seen someone fail and you kind of, yeah, all right, good, huh? They had it coming to them. I know they would. Yep, I told them not to do that. They failed. Some Christian, they failed. They fall. Yep, that's good. I know they're going to do it. Or do we weep over it? Does it break your heart if someone fails and falls in this Christian life? John 3:16 means that we don't keep records of other people's wrong. It's a test of how we're doing. How are we doing on this test? Agape love is a suffering love. It suffers. A suffering love. Sacrificial love. Verse 7. It says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Start with, it says, believes all things. In other words, if you love, for instance, your wife and your husband, now y'all love one another, you know what that means? It says, believes all things. It means there's not nothing that you cannot face. There's nothing that you cannot face. Bears all things, because there's a burden to bear when you love. Y'all understand that? There's a burden to bear when you love. Bears all things. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Was there a burden there for Jesus Christ and God the Father? Suffering love. This suffering love. As you think about this suffering love, why? Why does an all-knowing God, why does an all-powerful God, all-loving God, God allow suffering? He could stop it. Why does he allow this? He could stop it, yes. Well, he could fail to create people. And also he could create people without no will. It'd be like loving this microphone without a will. When God made you and me, he took a divine risk that we would not love him back. God knew it was going to cost him when he made you. Love always costs. Love suffers, but love sacrificial, it costs. Love costs. God so loved the world. What does it cost God the Father? It costs God the Son. It costs God the Son his life and his blood. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, but that love cost. It cost. Mother and fathers, it cost. When you bring little ones in the world, does it not? You got a family. You got kids. It's going to cost you when you bring children in the world. They're going to break your heart. Your heart's going to be broken. Do you love your children? It's going to cost you to love. When God gave man the capacity to sin, he also had to say, I had to give him compassion to say yes and compassion to say no. When he gave man ability to be loyal, he had also given him ability to be disloyal. He gave us a choice to choose. He also had to give us a choice not to choose God. When he loved us enough to make us, he also knew that it's going to cost him. And when we sin and come short of the glory of God, it costs Jesus Christ. When God chose to love, he chose to suffer. It's a suffering love. John 3:16. When you choose to love, you choose to suffer. You got your children. Just suppose that you've been married for many years and you've saved up money and you're going on your second honeymoon to Hawaii. Save up all your money, man, you get to Hawaii and, man, you got money to from motels and all that traveling and laying on the beach and eating out in those fine restaurants on Hawaii, having a good time. And about a few hours after landing there at Hawaii, back home, one of your children's in a car accident. And someone says, shall we call them and let them know about their child and interrupt their vacation? Or shall we just not say anything and let them enjoy the vacation? How many of you would like to know? I would think all of us would want to know. We'd want to know so that we would be back there, and because we had choose to love, you would choose to suffer. Christmas love is a love that's a suffering love. This Christmas love, description of this Christmas love, the development of this Christmas love, I'd like you to think about, you bear this love, and you remember back now in Galatians of this fruit. You don't produce it, you just bear it. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto you. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branch, and he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Christmas love, John 3:16. We have eternal life in that verse of scriptures, but also there is a life for tomorrow. Tonight, Pleasant Hill, do you want to live forever somewhere? And you'd say yes. There's a reason that you want that. Do you want to live for tomorrow? Do you want to live tomorrow? I believe everybody in here tonight want to live tomorrow. Why? It's because there's someone who loves you, and because there's someone that you love that you want to have a tomorrow. There's someone that you want to see tomorrow, someone that you want to love tomorrow. And that's the reason that we live, because we love. When people commit suicide because they find out most of the time that they feel like they're not loved and they don't have anyone to love them, and they don't love anyone. If you're not loving, you're not living. Christmas love begins and ends with Jesus Christ. God so loved the world. It's a sacrificial love. It's a suffering love. How are you doing on your test? Ending this, I read a little story. It's supposed to be a true story. In World War II, there's a 10-year-old Jewish boy. He was let out with his mother and his father and his sister and his brother out, and they let him and a bunch of other families out, as the Nazis did at that time, and they took a machine gun and they shot them all down, and they fell into this big hole that they had dug for them. They stripped them all naked and began to fire. This little boy, he got shot, but he didn't get a fatal shot. As he fell in that hole, all the corpse fell on top of him. It began to get dark, as the story goes. But he crawled out of that tomb over his mother and his father and his family, him naked and dark. He made his way to the first house And he knocked on the door, and the lady came to the door, recognized he was a Jewish boy. She said, "Get away from me, go away, go away, go away." He went to the next house. They recognized him as a little Jewish boy, had no part with him. "Go away, go away." He went to two or three more houses. And then he knew of a lady in this next house he was going to was a Christian lady. He knocked on that door. And she recognized him, and she was fixed to say, "Go away." Before she could say anything, he said, "Don't you recognize me?" He said, "I'm the Jesus that you say you love." And she brought him in, and she protected him through the time of war. You know, there's so many people in this world. They're the Jesus that we say we love. How you doing on this Christmas love on the test? Are you passing this test pretty well tonight? I didn't do too good on my test. This desire for Christian love, my time is out. I figured it would be. But how you doing on your Christmas love? You think about this season. We have a little song, Brother Jeremy, or a little music. You think about this Christmas season. Now it's coming up to Christmas Day. And we jerk open them presents, and you know, we have our family with us and a hustle and a bustle today. But you think about the Christmas love in your homes, in your families, in your life, in your heart. Do you really have this type of love? Or it's all about just the holiday season, all about the presents and all about the giving of gifts. And we, you know, a lot of times we just leave Jesus Christ out of it. Why? Because we really don't have the Christmas love we ought to have, John 3:16. And these 10 different qualities of Christmas love. Brother Jeremy. Would you bow in silent prayer this time for just a moment? Jesus, I think I could say for each person here this night, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Father, review our heart this hour. Do we really have the Christmas love?